Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
You know, we have a major political race going on here in Texas. The Democrat candidate is a pastor running for the Senate. He's very much in the camp of compassionate socialism, even though he's not that open about saying socialism. In fact, candidate James Tallarico calls it the friendship agenda. Some people call it socialism in a suit. Tallarico is a pastor, but he promotes a very progressive brand of Christianity. He makes it a point to contrast himself with conservative traditional beliefs. He claims that God, who made everything male and female, you look around, you see bugs are male and female, you see male and female just about everything, but he says that, you know, God and the Bible, they're actually non-binary. And he favors state involvement in the economy and personal affairs. He's funded by, you know, some people would say radicals and atheists. But he's not openly proclaimed socialism like Zora Mandani in New York. But even as one who is Muslim, that's Mamdani, and one who is a Christian pastor, that's Tallarico, I bet they agree on a whole host of things. They certainly seem to be supported by the same kind of people. Some would say they are radical people. Now, the reason I bring this up is in order to discuss a Christian view of economics. You know, with Mamdani, it's easy. He's Muslim and he's pro-socialism. But with Tallarico, he says he's Christian and he promotes socialist policies. So I want to talk about those. And joining me after a long absence for travel is my great friend, co-host, the amazing Mike Carter. Welcome back, Mike.
It is great to be back. Great to be back home. Great to be back at the Liberty Hawk Ranch. And it looks like you found a way, as I was gone here, to make economics exciting. We're going to compare economics and how that relates to socialism and free markets. I'm excited about the show.
I don't know if most people will think it's exciting. I bet you're bar for exciting, though, with these travels. To get to sleep at home in your own bed is exciting, right?
It is, and we've had some nice legislative wins out there, so we're excited about that. But yeah, I'm excited about this show today and what's going on. It's interesting how the Christian worldview can be so different depending on who you talk to nowadays.
Yeah. And so what I'm going to do is contrast from a Christian perspective, contrasting socialism versus free markets. Which is more Christian? Which works better? Which is more successful? And notice I did not say socialism versus capitalism. That's because, did you know this? Karl Marx was a capitalist.
Well, I'm a little interested in how you're going to get to that narrative, but I'm open to your explanation.
All right, you've heard it here first. We're going to talk from an economist's perspective. You know, people say capitalist, they mean free market, generally. Mm-hmm. But all economic systems use capital. Capital is equipment, money, intellectual property, it's buildings. You know, really, there are three factors of production. If you ask most economists, there are three factors of production. Really, there's four, but I'll tell you the three main ones in mainstream thinking: land, labor, and capital. And land would include the resources, the energy that you pull out of the land. That would be land. Labor is what we, our personal sweat, effort. And capital is the third one, which would be buildings, equipment, money, intellectual property.
Okay, I'm with you on this then. Right, okay, I'm so with you on that.
Karl Marx did not say that you don't use capital. That would be insane. So, okay.
Just other people's, right?
Yeah, well, Karl Marx, what he said would be, it's not a matter of whether or not you use capital, it's who owns the capital. Mm. He wanted it to be universal communal ownership. That's where we get the term communist.
Yeah, and we know how well that works. We can go back to the Pilgrim days when we should have learned our lesson early on, and the fact that it keeps coming up over and over again is amazing.
Yeah, all right. So the only real argument then, though, is not land, labor, and capital. Of course, we all agree on those. The fourth one, by the way, is entrepreneurship. That is the fourth factor of production. For an enlightened economist who understands that you really need that spark of innovation, and yet the communists don't talk about that because they don't have entrepreneurs, Because why would you risk right. everything if you don't get any more than the same share as everybody else?
Exactly. Exactly. So, and we all know that entrepreneurial lifestyle is always so steady and predictable and
so
forth.
No, it's completely risky and it's chaotic. And if you succeed, you want to be Elon Musk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's all. All right. So it's about who owns things, who owns your capital, who owns the land. And here's the big one, who owns the labor. And nobody thinks about this when you're talking about communism. Ownership is in common. That's communism. Or socialism, it's for the benefit of society. So who owns the capital? Oh, everybody should own the capital in common. I disagree, but all right. Who owns the land? Everybody should, you know, that's the big argument. It's like, you don't own this land, America, so don't put borders up because you all are usurpers
yeah.
being here. It should belong to everybody until somebody goes onto their property and then all of a sudden they put a wall up, right? In Hollywood, all those stars that believe... All right.
But just look at operational excellence. If there's an owner involved, it's at a different level. You can see these franchises, when they're corporate-owned franchises, a whole different level of performance at those retail stores. And you look at a Chick-fil-A example, where you've got an owner-operator that participates in the revenue. They have some ownership in that. They have the most operationally efficient models out there.
And the best customer
generating
service.
Generating $9 to $10 million a year per unit, blowing everything away. That's the difference between, well, everybody owns it, and free markets.
All right. Well, I want to take it to a whole different level because we're talking about ownership of capital or ownership, of the building and the land and so forth. Here's a big one. Who owns your labor?
Who owns my labor?
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping
you're
going to
say your wife and kids do. Yeah. Actually, my wife and kids own
that's
my labor.
That's the best answer.
Yeah. But no, who owns the labor? Alan West, he's a former congressman, good friend of this program, retired lieutenant colonel. He once shared with me that under socialism, you don't own the product of your labor. It belongs to society that is controlled by the government. This, he said, is economic slavery. Mm-hmm. Now, for a black man to sit on the economic forum and say socialism is nothing other than slavery, and I'm like, whoa, you know, if I said that, well, he said that, made a very strong point of it, and you know what? He's right.
Yeah.
If you don't even own your own output of product, so then the paycheck comes in, and you see a big amount goes off to the government already, but what if 100% went to the government?
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be hard to get out of bed in the morning.
It would be hard to work.
Except you'd be scared to death of what would happen to you because you don't even own your life at that point.
That's right. You don't. You're a slave. So communism is essentially the abolition of private property. It's the abolition of personal property. You don't even own yourself. And in fact, under communism, in the communist USSR, in their constitution, it says, if any man shall not work, neither shall he eat. That is also found in the Bible, which is interesting, but it was also something that was said on the plantation. You're not working, you're not eating. In fact, you get beaten. And so this is basically, the problem with economics is that people don't stop and think through the logical end of what they're doing. And here, let's start with a few basic definitions. Economics, we're talking economics. Economics is the study of scarcity and how to allocate scarce resources. That's according to the American Economic Association. Not from a Christian standpoint, by the way. Economics should be stewardship. God owns everything, and I should be steward of everything. If you're going to be a slave to anything, be a slave to God and to do His will and to fulfill His purpose, because He is a wonderful, wonderful owner of everything. But communism says the government owns everything and you are a slave of the government. I don't like that. But the traditional earthly academic study of economics is the study of scarcity. No wonder they call it the dismal science.
Yes. Well, thanks for being an optimist, though, Kevin. You're going to find some optimism in this in terms of what the real solution is.
Well, yeah, but when I was going to school in the 60s and 70s, I was, grew up in the 60s and 70s, went to college in the late 70s, early 80s. The prominent economists of that day were basically telling us, it's all over, you're all going to die, and not in a nice way, like hitting age 92, surrounded by your loving family. Instead, Paul Ehrlich, who was a well-known economist, just passed away recently in his 90s. He wrote the book, The Population Bomb. It says, while you're reading these words, five people, mostly children, have died of starvation, and 40 more babies have been born. And he basically said, He was pretty sure of himself. He basically said, we're all going to die because we're going to run out of everything, mm-hmm. and that's the end of everything. And he was a complete pessimist. So he made a famous bet. Julian Simon, a free market economist, he was more on the communist side, but the free market economist Julian Simon said, I'll bet you in 10 years, the price of any 10 commodities, or I think it was five commodities that you pick, the price is going to be lower, not higher. Hmm. Guess who won the bet?
Prices were lower and not higher.
That's right. Yeah. When Ronald Reagan got elected, we had supply-side economics. We started doing free market approaches to things, and the prices of all of those commodities, every one of them, went down. And Julian Simon won the bet from Paul Ehrlich. Paul just died recently, and they're writing in the Wall Street Journal about how he lost the bet. He was wrong. Free market economics is not the study of scarcity. It is actually a study of stewardship because it's God's principle, God's way to do economics.
And I'm guessing Paul didn't die of starvation at 92.
No, he was surrounded by loving friends and family because we had free market economics. Amen. All right, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, I want to dig deeper into this question. Which is better, communism or free markets? We'll have an answer for you right after this break.
Every day across the globe, big business agendas go unseen by investors. Things that go against your core values and beliefs. It's time to know your investments. Abortion. Alternative lifestyles. Gender and identity confusion. If you believe in protecting marriage and life, children, innocence, guarding masculinity, restoring families, defending religious liberty. Invest with your values. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by the great Mike Carter, and we're talking about which is better, communism or free markets. In free markets, you get choices. And one of the things you get to choose is what you do with your money. And there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. Now, that's a beautiful thing about America. You get choices. Under communism, you have the state-run telephone company, and they don't serve you all that well, and you don't get to move from one company to another. You can't have a choice between Apple and Android. You get the commie phone, and that's it. And maybe we should call it the red phone. But anyway, so we're facing, in America, we have freedom. And we were talking in the first block, we were talking about the factors of production and who owns them, individuals or the government. Who owns your own labor? Who do you have money that you can make free market choices with? And Mike, you were sharing about Chick-fil-A. One of the things that makes America great is that you, if you don't like Chick-fil-A, you can go to Burger King or you can go to any other fast food.
Absolutely. Yep. Free markets create competition, which forces people to say, how do I do this better? And that's so different than any type of government operation where you might be on hold for hours and trying to get to the right people to work through these things. And we're getting more efficient in our government, but there's no one there. There's no checks and balances there. If you're dealing with the IRS, you're dealing with the IRS.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you, for example, I just stayed at a Marriott property in San Diego, and if I wasn't being served there, I could have gone to a Hilton property or any of a dozen others. But if there's one state-run hotel company, there's... You know, they're not working for you as the customer. Yeah. They're working for the state. Yeah. And, for, you know, anyway, so let's compare. There's good historical examples comparing free markets versus communism. And one of them I want to bring up is Poland and Venezuela. Poland really was invaded by Hitler and the Germans and then put behind the Iron Curtain and forced into communism. The people from Poland are tremendous people, but they were forced into communism. By contrast, Venezuela was once, on a per capita basis, the fourth wealthiest country on planet Earth, with the largest oil reserves, more oil reserves than Saudi Arabia, America, or anywhere else.
Nice if you own some land, I guess, in that case, right?
Yeah, but they went, and Poland was freed from the Iron Curtain when the Berlin Wall fell, and they've joined the free market approach. And Venezuela in the 1990s voted in Hugo Chavez, and they became a socialist country voluntarily. And they voted it in, and you can look at the economic growth for Poland compared to Venezuela.
Yeah, and Poland's been an amazing success story. I know my daughter's getting ready to travel there this next month, and I'm like, well, be careful in Europe. She goes, Dad, I'm going to Poland. It's one of the safe places. So
yeah,
it's a great testament.
It is. It's a phenomenal country, and so Venezuela is a phenomenal country too. But when Chavez got elected, everybody cheered. All of Hollywood was out there saying, "Look, finally, we're going to do socialism right. We have a good man, and he's got a good purpose and good intention." And so he had a lot of help from his Hollywood friends to get into power. But you know what? Once he got into power, here's what they did. They literally rigged the elections. Mm-hmm. After Chavez died, two things happened. One, Nicolas Maduro was appointed as the leader. He got elected. He got elected like 98% election. How'd he do it? He literally.
Amazing how that happens.
Rigged the elections. And it's not me saying that. That's Antony Blinken, Secretary of State under Joe Biden. The whole world knows they rigged the election using
technology. Can you imagine technology. 98% on an election anywhere?
No, that's not possible. We all know that they rigged the election. And in fact, the State Department condemned them for doing it. Here's the problem. You can vote yourself into socialism, but once they get power, they will try and retain the power and you can't vote yourself out. Then the second thing that I just want to point out that's shocking is when Hugo Chavez ran for president, he was completely poor, a man of the people. And he was going to be a man of the people and he's going to spread the wealth around. And when he died, he left $4.2 billion to his daughter.
Billion.
Billion. The richest woman in, richest person in Venezuela and one of the richest women in the world. That's what socialism does. Once they grab power, it's like Animal Farm. They keep power and they put you down. We'll be right back with more.
Gold holds its value far better than the US dollar. Let's see what happens when I go in this sweet shop and pay with gold.
Can I pay with gold?
Find out how much it costs.
Do you know why I'm even using gold?
I do not.
It holds its value over time.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult to spend, isn't it? Do you take this?
Yes.
That's MasterCard. Yeah, but this is, I'm actually going to pay with gold, believe it or not. Using this. That's my MasterCard and it's linked to my gold wallet. So let's just watch that. Authorizing. Yeah, add a tip.
Thank you.
So this is your store?
Yes, sir.
And how much gold did I pay?
0.2243 grams.
Yeah, success. Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And joined by Mike Carter. Mike, did you have to read Animal Farm in high school?
I did. And I don't know if I really appreciated it at the time as a young kid. I wasn't quite the economic genius that you were back then. So it was more of a checklist.
You mean you had a real life and had girlfriends and fun and drove fast cars and things like that?
I just remembered I had to write a book report on it, and that was kind of tedious for me. But as I understand it today, it's a much more meaningful book than as I understood it in probably seventh or eighth grade.
Well, here's the thing about it. Animal Farm was the farm animals were being oppressed by the farmer, and so they decided to have a revolt, and it was led by the pigs. And the pigs then became in charge, and they were going to make everything equal and everything fair. And then at the end of the book, it says all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. The pigs essentially took control, and they still oppressed the rest of the farm animals. Mm-hmm. And so the argument has always been, and by the way, the author, George Orwell, wasn't anti-socialism. He was a socialist. He just said, yeah, but you got to have good people. If you let pigs run everything, this is what's going to happen. And that's always the argument.
I didn't realize that, actually. That's an interesting part of the story there. So he was still pro-socialism, but he still believed it just wasn't done right, so that was the purpose of his book.
That was the purpose of his book. So the argument that
I would have gotten an A on my book report if I would have included that insight.
Yeah. Well, the argument then becomes, well, what if good people did it? And so I'm wondering, good people, from a Christian standpoint, who would be good people? How about people who loved God more than they cared for their own life, that were willing to sacrifice everything to be able to express and share their faith with others, who would be willing to cross, traverse in perilous times, like on the Mayflower and come to America? How about the pilgrims? Wouldn't they make it work?
You would think that would be the right person that could actually make it work, the right team that came together to make it work.
All right, so I'm going to read from the diary. This is the Heritage Foundation published this about the pilgrims, and Bradford, Governor William Bradford, writing the diary of the dire economic straits and self-destructive behavior that consumed fellow Puritans shortly after their arrival. Well, these are good people. They're Christians. Governor William Bradford painted a picture of destitute settlers selling their clothes and bed coverings for food while others became servants to the Indians. They get there and it's like, I'll do anything. Cutting wood and fetching water in exchange for a cap full of corn. The most desperate among them starved. The Bradfords recounting how one settler in gathering shellfish along the shore was so weak he stuck fast in the mud and was found dead in his place. Colony leaders identified the source of their problem as a particularly vile form of what Bradford called communism. Property in Plymouth Colony, he observed, was communally owned and cultivated, the system taking away the proper private property and bringing it into a commonwealth, bred confusion and discontent, and retarded much employment that would have been to the settlers' benefit. So what did they do? They ended communism, they went to private property ownership, and guess what? They prospered so much that the next winter, as they were entering it, they had a big Thanksgiving.
Amen. Amen.
Communism never works. It doesn't matter if the people are good or bad. The system is terrible, and it's not God's way. We cannot abolish private property. And yet, that's what Zora Mamdani is wanting to do in New York. That's what the World Economic Forum says. You'll own nothing by the year 2030 and be happy. What is that other than the abolition of private property?
Exactly. And I see Mamdani with all of his ideas. He's having a little problems operating things efficiently already. And I see he needs to raise some more taxes.
And it's not just on the rich. He's raising taxes on everybody. And he's taking over property. It really, New York is going to be another case study. And the sad thing is, I'm sorry, Zora Mamdani is not a Puritan. He is not a pilgrim. He is not any of the greatness of those things. He doesn't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And so he certainly doesn't serve the truth of the Bible like the pilgrims did. It's going to fail miserably.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, to be fair, Trump gave him a fair shake. He's like, well, let's see what happens. Let's see. I hope this works.
Yeah, well, private property does work. Free markets work. Communism doesn't work. That's why when they wrote 250 years ago, Thomas Jefferson wrote, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and government should be instituted to preserve those individual rights as opposed to this whole notion of having everything in common. Because eventually, when you have everything in common, you're going to have a king who's the king of the commonwealth, and they're going to control you, and you won't even control your own labor. In other words, you will be entered into slavery. This is existential for America. We have a choice, and we need to make the right one. We'll be right back after this break.
Oh, hi, I'm Kevin Sorbo. And I'm here to tell you about coffee. Well, not really, but I'm going to use coffee to illustrate my point. Here we have several different coffees, each with its own unique characteristics. First, we have instant coffee. This coffee pretends to be coffee, but it's not really coffee at all. It's a fraud. Plus, it tastes terrible. I'm out. Next, we have woke coffee. Their coffee actually tastes pretty good. Until you find out that when you drink it, you have to admit that you've oppressed other coffees in the past. Insanity, I'm out. Next, we have big tech coffee. Now, these guys used to encourage folks to share with others what they thought about their coffee. But now, if you say you don't like big tech coffee, they'll take away your coffee pot. I'm out. This brings us to Patriot Mobile Coffee, right? This is one big cup of truth and freedom. There's no fraud here. Patriot Mobile is America's real Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile gives back millions of dollars every year to organizations that are on the front lines fighting for our freedoms. Patriot Mobile offers the best nationwide 4G and 5G coverage on the same networks as the other major carriers. So you'll get the same great coverage, along with 100% U.S.-based customer support, while knowing you are supporting a company that shares your conservative values. Switch to Patriot Mobile today by visiting patriotmobile.com or call 972-PATRIOT.
Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Yeah, and we're talking with Mike Carter, and we're talking about the difference between free markets and communism. Which is more Christian? Which is more successful? We've already covered the fact that free markets work and communism never does work. But which is biblical? What does God want from us? That's an important question.
I like what you said earlier, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's got a ring to it. What a great philosophy there.
Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is a complete ripoff that Thomas Jefferson did. And I'm not saying he stole or that he was a plagiarist, but literally John Locke, the economist, wrote Life, Liberty, and Property.
Life, liberty, and property. So private ownership.
Ownership is the basis for the pursuit of happiness. If you think about it, if you're it just is a cog in the wheel, and this is what you have to do, and you're going to do it, you're a drone, you're a slave, and there's no pursuit of happiness. Yeah. There's no idea, I'm going to build, dream, accomplish. That's what they can say. And the goal was, John Wesley had the goal, is make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Earn all you can, I think is what he said. But the idea is, I want to make and build and do and dream so I can share it. Who do you want to share with?
Yeah. Who do I want to share with?
Yeah.
My loved ones, first of all, but those that are in need. If I see a need, it's fulfilling to me to be able to help somebody at the same time.
And that brings happiness, right? If you make sure your kids are well taken care of, that they get a good education, that they've got, you know, that makes you, if you see grandkids, I want to bless them. I want to provide for them. Or you see somebody in need. That's how you find happiness, right?
Yeah.
That's the pursuit of happiness. Jefferson understood that. It's interesting. The World Economic Forum does the opposite of that. They say that you can have happiness by owning nothing. Does that sound right to you?
It definitely sounds wrong to me, but it's amazing how inverse it is of the principles we stand for. So if you were going to say, what's the opposite, or how do I take down this model that's been working, I try and convince people the exact opposite. So okay, you own nothing and be happy. You'll eat bugs and be happy. Do any of those sound like they make sense?
That bug one is the one that bothers you the
most.
That
does get me.
Because the World Economic Forum, 10 predictions or our 8 predictions.
I'm having a hard time eating healthy vegetables. Now you're going to tell me I got to eat bugs. Come on.
Yeah, no, I get that. And they literally said you'll eat less meat. And what they meant by that is you'll eat more bugs. And they started promoting that. But World Economic Forum is putting this out. Your point is a good one, though. They tell you the opposite. You'll own nothing and be happy. By the way, a family, a mom and a dad, no. A male and a female, no. Well, God made them male and female, no. God created the heavens and earth, no. They deny everything that we know to be true, and they try and put the opposite in place. A family is, you know, two two men and two dogs or something. It's ridiculous.
It kind of shows you the playbook of who's behind communism, really. It's not a godly thing.
Oh, and that's a good point. We've got on the bookshelf behind us The Devil and Karl Marx. He literally did serve Satan. I mean, he admitted it. It's pretty clear in there. See, by no means is a Christian. So I asked AI. I think it was Grok. What does the Bible say about the concept of private property? Is it for it or against it? And here's the answer. The Bible strongly affirms the concept of private property through both explicit commands and underlying assumptions throughout the Old and New Testaments. While God is the ultimate owner of all creation, Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, he delegates stewardship and ownership rights to individuals and families, expecting them to manage property responsibly, productively, and generously. And I think a couple of things. One, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. If there's no private property, is it possible to steal? If it's everything owned in common?
Good point. And I thought of that one that way.
And not only is it against stealing, it's against thinking about stealing. Thou shalt not covet. I got that one from Rod Martin. It's like coveting targets legitimately what belongs to another person, reinforcing that personal property right is protected. That's the Old Testament. It's there. What about the concept of property in the New Testament? Well, it's very clear. Jesus, when he handed out the talents, the master owned it, representing God, and he says, this is yours to do with as you will, and then report back to me how you've done with it.
Yeah.
That's not a communist notion.
No. You're all these woke pastors that are teaching socialism, you're kind of messing up their theology a little bit right now.
Well, their theology is not messed up by me. It's messed up by the Bible. Here's another one. I'll pull up Acts 5:1-4. Remember, everybody was going to share everything in common, and the socialists point to that. And they say, no, God wants you to share in common. You know, that didn't last very long in the church because it's not very successful. It's just like the Pilgrims experiment that failed. But here's the clear passage. Ananias and his wife said they sold their property and they brought the money in and they said, here it is. It's all here. We're putting it all in. And Ananias was there first and they said, is that all of it? And he said, yep, that's it, all of it. Well, he'd held some of it back. And it says, Peter confronts him and says, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? They lied and said they put everything they had in. That was a lie to the Holy Spirit. And of course, tragically, he died. But the point is this, absolute clarity, it was his property to do with as he wanted.
Yeah.
Now, giving, God wants us to be a cheerful giver. That's very plain where he says God wants giving to be voluntary and he wants us to be cheerful givers. If someone shows up at your house with a gun, knocks on your door, you answer their gun and says, give me all your money, are you cheerful about that?
Not at all.
If it's the government and says, give me all your money because we'll do good things with it, are you cheerful about that?
No.
Nobody's cheerful. That's why April 15th is not considered one of the happy days in America.
Are you sure the government hasn't already come to my door and said, give me all your money? Because it certainly feels that way.
Well, looking at the checkbook, it feels that way too sometimes. But the point is the Bible is very clear about the notion of private property. And you can go through all of it. There's example after example. Deuteronomy 19:14 says, you shall not move your neighbor's boundary mark. Well, wait. Yeah. Why does he have a boundary mark unless it's his private property?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to move it and take some. No, that's theft. And you shall not do that.
Yeah.
The point being, over and over and over, where there was a case where a king says, I want that, and he killed the owner and took the property, and God punished him for that. Completely wrong thing to do. Not even kings are allowed to do that. So you go all the way through, and there's example sharing in Acts 2:44-45 and 4:32-37 was voluntary. It was not coerced. It was not communal ownership by mandate. Now, if people want to come together and say, look, we're going to share this in common, it's your property. If that's what you want to do with it, you can't. It should just not be forced.
Exactly.
And we do that all the time, families. You know, when our kids were little, how much did they contribute to the family checkbook?
Yeah.
How much did they take from the family checkbook?
It is. But, as Christians, we also recognize that we're really stewards of what God gave us. And so while we have things, we also recognize this comes from above. And I think that gives us that extra encouragement to also say, all right, how do I be generous with what I have at the same time? So,
and that's the important thing, because what is the flaw? What's the flaw? What's Mamdani pushing at when he says we got to go to socialism or capitalism? The flaw is that we have this massive wealth gap. The rich have gotten richer. Mm-hmm. The poor seem to not be gaining ground at all and so forth. Although historically, let me point out, those people who live in abject poverty are what we've got a chart coming up here, less than 10% of the population of the world, whereas before free markets came along, it was like 90% of the population of the world. Free markets have really lifted people out of poverty. But the problem is you have a wealth gap. And so people complain, how come Elon Musk is so wealthy and I barely am scraping by? That's not fair. And the government's corrupt and everything's corrupt. That's the one flaw of what we call capitalism, really.
Can we put the word crony in front of that, don't we, in that case? A little crony capitalism creates those unfair markets?
Yes, because what you have is billionaires that then buy off the government, and I get this.
It's not necessarily all free all the time.
It's not free. And, in New York, there was a mayor. His name was Bloomberg, and he was a very wealthy multi-billionaire. He got into power, and the first thing he wanted to do was control everybody's everything. How much soda you were allowed to drink. Do you remember that?
I remember that. That was the first shock I got to socialism or government control, and then went from that to bugs. So eating bugs. We're on a very bad path here. We've got to help people understand what you're talking about today.
Yeah, no, and I'll tell you that those who are the pigs of Animal Farm, they ate what they wanted to eat. They didn't eat what everybody else had to eat. And that's true for Hugo Chavez's daughter. It's true everywhere when people enforce communism, they're really creating a slave society where they're the masters and the rest of us are slaves. But under free markets, you have the opportunity to pursue your own happiness, to find what makes you happy and to build and grow. And if you add value to the world, you'll make a lot of money. But it creates a wealth gap. And that's what we're going to have to address. And we'll talk about how do we fix the wealth gap from a Christian view right after this break.
I'm outside Babe's, which I'm told is the quintessential chicken restaurant here in Roanoke, Texas. Let's go and see if we can buy the food in here, chicken with gold.
This is gonna be the fried chicken.
This is unbelievable. How am I gonna fill this in? I seriously actually don't know how to begin with this. This is so overwhelming. Do you think I can pay with gold?
I don't know, you may have to ask the cashier. I don't handle it.
Can I pay with gold? But actually, you said I could pay with this? Okay, I'm gonna pay with this, but I'm gonna pay with gold. So look at the price of gold going up. That's pretty cool, yeah? Right, this is Babe's, yeah?
Yeah.
How much gold did I pay? Gold, how many grams?
0.26.
Quarter of a gram of gold. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Success! Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
I'm joined by co-host Mike Carter. Mike, you've been traveling across the country. You've been meeting real people in beautiful American states. We've been to Idaho together. We've been to Florida and Georgia. And man, you've been all over. And people are worried about this wealth gap, aren't they?
Yeah. No matter where you're at, people are feeling the pressures of inflation. They're seeing those that have a lot, and others are saying, how am I ever going to be able to afford to buy a house out there? The wealth gap is real, and we want to fix that. And certainly one of those solutions is what we've been working on with transactional gold. The legislation's been being passed there and being rolled out this year, which is exciting. It's something we need to address, and it's something that we're seeing bipartisan support on, sometimes more from the Democrats than Republicans, but they say, hey, we understand there's a wealth gap, and this is a chance where people can start to get something that holds value, keeps its value, and maybe accumulate some more property or some wealth at some point versus I've got something saved, they keep printing more and more of it, it's worth less and less. So I'm working nonstop just to figure out how to pay the bills.
I mean, yeah.
We've got some opportunities in America still.
We do, and we should be able to pursue happiness. The solution to the wealth gap is not to implement socialism slash communism, because that's just going to solidify it and permanentize it like it did in Venezuela. But Jesus told us, the poor you'll always have with you, in Matthew 26:11, when he was allowing the extravagant perfume to be poured on his feet. And he said, oh, that should be sold and given to the poor. And he said, the poor you'll always have with you. And it's a statement a lot of times that people take out of context, saying that, well, just neglect poverty. No, no, it's actually the opposite. He was quoting Deuteronomy 15:11, which says, for the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and to your needy in your land. In other words, Jesus was saying, yeah, we're going to always have the poor with us. That's a truth from the scripture. Yeah. The good news is the poor in America are better off than the wealthy 100 years ago, right?
Yeah.
We really are.
We all, no matter what our income, we pretty much all have our phones now. We've all got our TVs. We've got, for the most part, air conditioning and electricity. That's the plumbing that works. That's a big deal.
It is, but we still have a wealth gap, and we want to address it. And one of the ways to address it is very clear. You shall open your hand to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. You individually shall open your hand. And the only way you can do that is to do what John Wesley said, make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. Human generosity, scriptural stewardship, where we're sharing with those the least of us, that's a biblical approach to solving the wealth gap. That's number one, private generosity from a stewardship perspective, not a government takeover of everything. God loves a cheerful giver, according to 2 Corinthians 9:7, and we're not cheerful paying our taxes. So that's the first solution. The second solution is free markets that we've been talking about. Less regulation and more opportunity. Remember, we did this show on Economic War Room. The average American home would be earning over $300,000 a year if we didn't have all the regulations that we've layered on. And I, practical sense, I was just in California. I was talking to some home builders, and they said, yeah, the cost of building a house is so much higher because we can't put in a gas-powered stove. We have to put in an electric stove, and we have to meet all these requirements. So houses are too expensive for the average person.
Development costs, the regulations, all that that are in place just to get the land ready makes it prohibitive pricing-wise. And so you're seeing a big challenge there in terms of how do you get entry-level homes built? If there's not the margin there by the time you add the regulation, all the restrictions, you build everything in, people are saying, I can't afford to buy a home anymore.
So we've contrasted Poland and Venezuela. How about contrasting Argentina and Argentina?
Okay.
Argentina, before Milei was elected, he says, I'm going to end the socialism and start free markets. Guess what's happened in Argentina since he took over?
It's getting better.
The miracle, they call it an economic miracle, vindicating free markets. And guess what? Poverty is declining where you've taken socialism out in Argentina. It's a perfect test case. We can look at that and it's like it was worsening and the society was about to collapse. He comes in with free market solutions. And guess what? They call it Argentina's miracle, vindicating free markets. And that's from the John Locke Foundation. John Locke, of course, we quoted Life, Liberty, Property earlier.
Yes.
But it's happening around the world. The greater the freedom, the greater the prosperity. That's true how many times?
Every time.
Every time. And the greater the slavery, the greater the impoverishment, the greater the wealth gap. That's true also every time. Those are two big solutions to the wealth gap. But the third one you brought up at the beginning of the segment, we're going to dive in detail on honest weights and measures, God's solution for the free markets.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
I'm joined by Mike Carter, and we're talking about free markets versus communism. And literally, the only problem I can see with free markets is the wealth gap. That it's true. Some people get wealthy and other people struggle in the economy. And solution for the wealth gap, number one, we just covered it, is private generosity from a stewardship perspective. Solution two is free markets. Free markets actually tend, when you have less regulation, you have more opportunity to actually tend to even out that wealth gap. And solution number three is honest weights and measures. We call it pirate money. And bottom line is gold, silver, and copper are biblical money. God made them. God owns them. Haggai 2:8 says that. Over time, though, unbacked paper money, something not contemplated in the scripture, actually it is. It loses value due to inflation. 1 Corinthians 3:12 and 13, I'm going to read it. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious metals, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Fire, when you come into trials and challenges and difficulties, burns up wood, hay, and stubble, which is what paper money's made out of, and gold and silver get purified. And literally, I think the fire that we're facing is inflation. Inflation lets rich people make money from poor people. It's called the Cantillon effect, and it creates a wealth gap. But God hates unjust weights and measures, wants everyone treated fairly. We have a solution, Mike, for gold and silver to where the average person can own it. It's $5,000 an ounce, but I can only own $100 worth. But it works.
It does. It does. And it's exciting. We've seen some nice legislative wins already this year. But what we're really starting to see is states say, all right, how do we implement this now? How does this get going? And the ability to be able to take a little bit of money that you make and be able to buy gold and silver, put it in a depository, and have a debit card to be able to spend that if you need to spend it, to give you liquidity that's not been there before with gold. But with gold at $5,000 an ounce, there's not many of us that can afford to have a $5,000 coin just sitting around and say, well, if I need to use it, I can go somewhere, sell it, wait for my money to come back, and so forth. But if I can have gold that I can spend anywhere when I need to spend it, if I can have my own rainy day fund, if I can be able to buy gold at $5, as low as $5 increments, $100 a month, and in a year, I've got $1,200 in gold that keeps up with inflation. I've got that steady store of value now.
And the ability to save money in the form of gold allows you to maybe get your house a little quicker.
Yeah.
And houses priced in gold have not gone up in price. They've gone down. So it makes life more affordable. If we could switch or give you a personal optional gold and silver standard from 6 states now, and soon to be 26 states as we hit, but Arkansas, Florida, Texas, Louisiana, Missouri, and Utah. That's a big chunk of states. And even if you're in another state, you soon will be able to get your Florida card or your Arkansas card and be able to use it and hold and spend gold. You'll learn more about that from the book Pirate Money. But I think this is one of the big solutions for the wealth gap. And by the way, support for this program comes from Glint. That's a financial technology service offering exactly what he was talking about, a debit card and a mobile app for enabling users to access gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of a transaction, when you need to spend it, gold is sold real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app, available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. That's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint provides access to gold for modern spending.
Yeah. And Kevin, we've got a solution now. I mean, my gold is in Switzerland. I want it in the states that we live in. And as we move forward with this legislation, we see also tremendous advantages where now that it's functional currency, that might be able to get rid of capital gains tax, but you got a trust factor, you got all kinds of benefits as this moves from state to state. We're getting people on the radio calling us and saying, if I live in California, can I do this? Yes, as these states roll out, you can do it. You can do it today. But your gold will be in Switzerland, not in the United States.
We're making gold and silver money again under the biblical truth. Learn more from piratemoneybook.com. All right, some of you may be leaving us now, and for those, we say God bless you from Kevin Freeman and Mike Carter and Pirate Money Radio. You know, we love our audience. We've got a broad audience across multiple platforms. But if you're following us on podcast, or if you're following us on American Family Radio, you need to stay tuned. We've got one more segment, a little bit more time with Mike Carter, and for you, we'll be right back after the break. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And we're talking with the great Mike Carter, who's traveled the country to bring pirate money to the states across America. You spent a lot of time really laying the groundwork, making a lot of progress. We got advanced in committees. We got out of the Senate in Georgia and other places, just real Tennessee. We're seeing great, huge advances. And most importantly, you helped them implement the rules in Florida. You helped them at least testify, here's what it should look like and so forth. I want you to wrap up with some encouragement about people waking up to pirate money. What are the people, when you meet them, what are they saying?
Yeah, anywhere I go, I can, in about a 3 to 4 minute conversation, I can quickly say, hey, well, how about if I pay for this in gold today? And they look at first a little bit curiously, and then they get it and they understand it. I was getting a rental car, and afterwards it was busy. The guy like fist bumped me like, this is great. How do I learn more about this? How do I do this? I was getting a meal at a fast food restaurant, the same thing. No matter what demographic profile that you might fit out there, what income out there, people understand this, they get it, they see this is a big idea. It's part of that wealth gap of how do I make sure I've got something just at least set aside, my rainy day fund, that I know is going to hold some value out there over time. And gold can go up and down over short term.
Does.
So this is a long-term play. But over time, it's been a steady store of value. And to have that optionality with the liquidity that this provides, and as the states step up and get more and more involved, the trust and the other potential benefits that come from that, from making sure there's never another event like in the 1930s where Roosevelt took the people's gold. This
you don't have gives to worry a whole about that
layer, yeah, whole another layer of protection from that, from the taking, and then potentially on the taxes. But I've never seen an idea, and I've worked in a lot of consumer products and done disruptive businesses, to where you see just people get so excited and like a light comes on. It's like, oh, there is a solution this is the solution I've been looking for.
And it's an optional solution. One of the things that communism is, you don't get any choices. You can have any car, a car in any color you want as long as it's black, right? That's a communist approach.
Well, Ford did that a little bit of efficiency, but that was but definitely more that way.
Is Ford doing it now?
Not at all. No,
because they realize that it doesn't work. They believe in a free market. And that's the reality of it, is that people want choices. Choices bring more freedom. It brings more opportunity. It brings innovation. It brings more prosperity. And that's what we've been talking about from the beginning of this program, is that communism, where you have no choice, you're essentially a slave, versus free markets, where you have lots of choices. Free markets are better for the gospel because you can share the truth of eternal wealth and share the truth of knowing Jesus and share the truth from having a home in heaven and taking others with you to heaven. It's not about the money here. This is just an opportunity for us with free choices to save as many souls as possible, to bring the light of the gospel to as many places as possible. All right, if you've got questions or prayer needs or comments, we want you to email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. We love those questions, don't we, Mike?
No, we do. We do. And it's encouraging for us just to hear from audience members and asking and learning more. Thank you so much for our listening audience out there and for those of you that are helping to make this movement happen across America. A shout out to Senator Marty Harbin. Make Georgia gold again. We're still working on it. We're going to get it done probably this next session.
Amen. All right. So pray for America. Pray for the world to return to God's principles this year. Decree God's word over this earth. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, etc. This is Kevin Freeman joined by Mike Carter for Pirate Money Radio.
Arrgh.